this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast for Elite Pool Covers, saving you water today for tomorrow.
The 1st of December.
When the day has finally ended and the kids are fast asleep and the house is good and quiet without one single peep.
Guess what happens on the 1st of December?
Tree goes up?
Yeah. On that? Well, in our house. Not in our household.
But Pete rolled it out a month ago.
Yeah. In fact, it never comes down.
You know, it's just easier.
Yeah.
No. Elf on the Shelf pops out and makes an appearance.
So did Elves on the Shelf start like popping up everywhere last night, or is it today that we expect to see their first amount of trouble?
Hey, kids, we would love to hear from you this morning. Where did you find your Elf on the Shelf? Because they're cheeky little munchkins.
Yeah, and Kimber, to answer your question, it's a bit like the vaccine rollout. They have staggered it. So they may appear anytime in the next 48 hours.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's not every household. It's only 75% of them.
Oh, here we go.
They are quite cheeky too, these.
They are cheeky. Elf,
like, because sometimes I think they're getting up to things that are a bit naughtier than even the kids do.
Yes, that's true.
They seem to start a fair bit of trouble.
Well, our little Elfie, who visits us every year, I woke up this morning getting ready for work, and sure enough, there he was, just making his himself at home, again in the Corelli household, in the girl's pencil case with pens everywhere. He'd clearly made a big mess.
Oh, he's doing some art.
But he did write a little note.
Oh.
And the note said, "I'm back. Christmas is almost here. I've returned for holiday cheer. Mila, Izzy and Ollie, I'll be watching you each day and reporting back to Santa each night. Boy, we are not off to a good start. Look at this mess. Clean up and make sure your behaviour is the best. Santa and I will take care of the rest. Love, Elfie." So Elfie is there and he's watching.
Wow. I tell you what, the cricketers have to quarantine for 14 days, but not the elves.
No.
No, straight in.
Straight in. No issues.
I love also Elf made the mess and then went, "Kids, after a bad start, clean this stuff up."
Well, I said, he's a bit cheeky.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, true.
Elves. But they do. Santa. They find themselves every single day towards Christmas, we're going to find Elfie in a different spot. And today's day number one. Hey, Scarlett.
Hi.
Hi, Scarlett. How old are you?
I'm 11.
And has Elf on the Shelf visited you today?
Yes.
What happened?
He was in a North Pole Express box with some Santa cups.
Of course he was.
Did he have a little message for you as well, Scarlett?
He's happy my brother's home from hospital.
Oh, I think we all are.
Beautiful.
That's good news.
That's great news. Can you say hello to your family for us, Scarlett, okay?
Hi, Kate.
Oh, perfect.
Beautiful.
Hey, we got another one here. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi.
Charlotte, how old are you?
I'm 10.
Oh, okay.
And have you discovered the elf?
Pardon?
Have you discovered the elf?
Yes.
Where?
She's sitting in the car next to me in the middle.
Really? Oh, was she in the car when you got in?
Yep.
Oh, clever. Cool. And any messages for you or just sitting politely in the car?
There was a message.
What did it say?
Oh,
what did it say, Charlotte?
It said, "I hope you guys have been behaving because I'm here and I am happy to see you guys."
Oh, yes. Lovely. Yeah,
well, Elf, they are watching.
Yeah, they are watching. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
9-year-old Jasmine in Sorrento. Jasmine, where did you find Elf on the Shelf?
My Elf on the Shelf is named Elma, and I found my Elf on the Shelf on the fan, and she was spinning around.
Oh.
Wow.
That doesn't sound safe at all.
Yeah.
And did you get a letter too, Jasmine?
Yeah, I got a letter saying, like, "We sent lots of love and I missed you a lot from the North Pole and always be kind."
Oh, perfect. That's beautiful.
And that is excellent life advice.
It certainly is. I'm a fan of that elf. Hey, George is 9 in Clarkson. Good morning, George. Where did you find your Elf on the Shelf?
So I found my Elf on the Shelf on my Christmas tree, and it was stealing all of my candy canes from top to bottom.
Oh,
naughty
what?
Elf on the Shelf.
And before breakfast as well. Yikes.
Yeah.
You might have to book your elf on the shelf into the dentist for a clean, George, I think, after that.
Yeah, I think so.
Good on you, mate.
Well, I hope you keep some for yourself, George. Isabel in Wilson, 8-year-old Isabel, where did you find your elf?
Hi, I found my elf on the shelf on the top of the TV, and he had a big banner made out of toilet paper, and he said, I'm back, I missed you so much.
Oh, out of toilet paper.
That's brilliant.
That's a fun way to make a sign.
We got Libby and Georgia in Swanview. Good morning to you kids. How are you?
Good.
We hear that you've got more than one elf in your house.
Yes, we have two because we have two kids. One's named Sarah, that's my elf, and my sister's elf is named Jess.
Okay, and where did you find them?
We have a math table upstairs and we found them. My elf was using a protractor and George's elf was doing math books.
Playing the angles, love it. Okay.
Doing some good last minute study. Excellent.
And we had a donk and we had a horse and it had Dad's glasses on there trying to teach the elves.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Oh, those cheeky little elves are out in force.
Good material.
Very good.
I know, you thought that news only happened in the Big Smoke. Well, let's cross to Michelle Anderson for news from the Nether Regions.
Yes, you hear up and down the WA coast, the darling of the regions. Oh,
thank you.
The Duchess of Dalwallinu.
I thought you were going to skip the darling and I was going to storm out.
Never. I was going to go with Wench of Walpole, but it wasn't the
it
same.
All fits.
Oh, that's not
it
bad.
All fits. It's getting towards the end of the year. No, all right, let's start out, okay, and go to the northwest of the state where they're improving driver license access to the remote communities because there's not enough people out there to take people driving to get hours up, to test them, etc.
Oh.
They've doubled the numbers. Get ready.
Was 5, now 10.
10.
What do you mean?
Right. Is that 10 people? Right. I know,
10 people are driving.
I feel like going up there and helping out myself. A lot of people wouldn't get their licenses, but I, you know, my mind, my heart's in the right place. You know what I mean? But yeah, so it's just helping the youth basically because like need a driver's license to get the job, you know, it's all that sort of stuff. So that's what's happening up there. We're helping people drive. How did you go with your driving lessons? Because did you go all right?
Or I were
you
all right. Just, did I got mine 3 days after my 17th birthday.
Good
I got
work.
My license. So I was ready and primed to go.
Did you, were you driving maybe where you shouldn't have been before said, you know, said license going or what?
Yeah.
Here and there? Did you grow up on a farm?
Yeah.
Did you grow up on a farm?
No.
Not you either, Pete. All right. But did you get it first time, your licenses?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, because the back then, mum and dad just gave you 5 lessons and you were fine. You're like, give it a go.
There you go. Yeah, have a go. Don't be afraid. Did you, manual?
Yes.
Go, guys. Still
don't even
got
think
that
you can
respect.
Get a manual
hang on,
car
Pete's very
days.
Quiet over there, manual Pete.
Of course I'm wearing manual, right? I ain't no sissy. There you go.
My stepchild.
Yes.
She looks at me sometimes and goes, why do you drive a manual? Like it's the worst povo thing you could ever do.
I have full respect for anyone who's got
a manual.
So that's great. We've doubled up our driver teachers up northwest.
All right.
And then this story I love, okay. So there's a school teacher from the east. Her name's Kristen Goldsmith, okay. Now she's preparing for a new job. She's going to be working in East Kimberley at a community school. And she thought, I'll ask the deputy principal, what can I do to help? What can I bring along? You know, and unfortunately, half the time it's like school supplies, like artwork stuff, da 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 da. And do you know what the deputy principal said?
What?
Bring thongs. We need footwear for the kids.
Oh.
Yeah, apparently it's a bit of a shortage. This wonderful woman went, all right, how am I going to do this? It's a community of about 200 people where she's going. She reached out via her social media on the east. Ended up with about 2,000 pairs of thongs. And she's like, well, how do I bring them over? Because she's over the east. Right. Well, she's figured all this out. Puts out on social media again, is there anyone in logistics who can do this? A woman's trucking company went, we can do it. They've got them going from Byron through to Darwin, then Darwin through to Kununurra, and it's all working out. So
that's
how
great.
Is that? What a great little story.
Honor.
So
nice
there you
one.
Go, thongs. Heard of thunk.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah, that's it.
And thongs, not Crocs.
Crocs.
Classy.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You stay classy.
The breathing, you know
I
what
love
I mean?
The Crocs in the garden.
You're into Crocs in the garden?
I have a pair of Crocs for the garden. Yeah.
Apparently, it's the shoe of the chef.
Yes, I can imagine that.
Yeah. It's a really, in the garden, they're perfect. Yeah.
In the garden,
they protect
good.
You from the dog poo.
And in your own backyard in private, not in public.
Yeah, but you can hose them down.
Yeah. Stay classy, everyone.
In Richmond in Yorkshire, they've been having quite the kickoff to winter.
Have they?
And about 61 people went to the Tan Hill Inn in Richmond on a Friday night. An Oasis cover band, No Oasis, was playing. And they were probably sounded like that.
Yeah.
As someone who's played a lot of Oasis songs, you can sort of sound like them because they're pretty simple songs.
Yeah.
So that was a great night out. And Oasis were terrific. The punters go to open the door. Bloody hell. We've been snored in.
Oh, no.
They were stranded there for 4 days.
What?
4 days in the pub.
One bloke had to get airlifted out because he needed dialysis. Fair enough. But everyone else, including Oasis, who've now been renamed Snow Aces, stayed in the pub and basically had a 4 day, we're stuck here, we might as well drink the bar dry and listen to Snow Aces.
Oh, wow. Stop us if you've heard this one. It's called Wonderwall.
Did they obviously got things to them, right? Like food and drink, because a pub's
it's a pub.
Only...
There's potato chips, and nuts, beer
there's
nuts.
There's only so many beer nuts that you could have before you start wanting to kill each other.
And they had to keep on the floor because the rooms were already taken, because it's quite a lovely part of Yorkshire and it's quite high. So all the roads were blocked, they were snowed in. You know, there was no alternative and they weren't going to, you know, they didn't need to be rescued. So they were stranded there for 4 days.
Also, it's about really getting to know those people in an intimate space.
Yes, and with alcohol.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this happened on a plane when I was flying to Canada and there was a really bad electrical storm and I got as far as Chicago. And Chicago to Toronto was 1 hour on the plane. But we sat in the plane on the tarmac because the pilot went, I reckon we can make this. Let's just go quickly. Didn't go in time. And we spent 4 hours on the tarmac.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they wouldn't let us out of the plane.
No.
Can't get out of the plane. It's not safe. So 4 hours sitting in a plane. And every time the clock ticked over, you're like, we would have been in Toronto by
yes.
now.
Yes.
We would have, like, three times over.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
At least you were in a plane. Amongst what I assume was, you know, mates or something or people, and it was quite safe. I was on my way back from Mandurah after quite the weekend.
Which is the Toronto of WA.
It really is. And I was heading back up.
He wasn't trying to do like a baseball kind of cue. Then Pete was like, sort of, it was a bit of an ear scratch and a nose scratch and a bit of a wink, wink, nudge,
yeah.
nudge.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, down at the Toucan there.
Back for a
there.
Big weekend.
It was good fun. I was driving back up Kwinana Freeway and I was starting to get a bit sleepy because it was about 4 o'clock in the morning. And I had work at the fish shop that day as well. And I pulled over on the side of the road, but I didn't realise, because it was out in the middle of nowhere virtually on Kwinana Freeway, that I had pulled out and into a sandy patch.
Oh.
And I had a kip for 20 minutes, woke back up, went to take off, and the wheels were bogged. And I couldn't get the thing out. It was raining. On top of that, my phone battery was dead.
Oh, God.
Right. So I had no way of contacting anyone. And I must have been there for a good couple of hours. An old beaten up Commodore pulls in behind me.
It's Kimber's dad.
It was my worst nightmare because I thought, this is how it ends.
Oh, of course.
This is how it ends. Two blokes get out of the car. One of them's holding a shovel.
No.
Yes. And he walks up to the window. And I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And he goes, mate, do you want us to dig you out?
Oh,
all of my Christmases came at once.
So
it was insane. I was 18 years old. It was the scariest morning of my life.
Well, when you're stranded, you either need two guys with a shovel or an Oasis cover band. One of those two things to get you through. Kim's in Stratton. G'day, Kim. Where'd you get stranded?
G'day. I got stranded between Meekatharra and Kalgoorlie on the Sandstone Road dirt track.
Yeah.
With a family of five. My youngest was 12 months old and my oldest was 5 years old.
Oh,
and it was the middle of summer and ironically it was this time of the year for my mum's 50th birthday and she's now 81 that we got stranded and we left Newman at 5 a.m, stopped at Meeker for a breakfast. Got onto the dirt road and probably 20 k's down, a rock flicked up and hit the Weld out of the diff and all the oil leaked out and we were stranded.
Wow. And did you do what we do, pack all the essentials for a car trip, like packets of lollies and some chips, and that's what you've got to live on?
Yeah, frozen fruit box drinks for the kids.
How long were you there for, Kim?
About an hour after a car came past and said, we'll send out a towie, and 6 hours later, no one turned up.
Oh, no.
And then another little car bombing from Meekatharra came towards us, steam coming out of the bonnet. I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's not going to be able to help us. And he piled me and the three kids in the car and took us back to Meeker. He said, I'll send out a towie. And I said, yeah, that's what the last person said. And he said, no, I'll make sure. And the BP service station looked after us, gave the kids lots of drinks and lollies and ice cream. And we spent the night at Meekatharra, and my mum picked me up and the kids, and my husband and brother stayed 2 days in Meekatharra waiting for a new diff for the car.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So happy birthday,
Kim.
Mum.
Oh, happy birthday, Mum.
And the accommodation at the BP was beautiful. We had a lovely time.
Absolutely gorgeous. Oh, Meeka, go, you do yourself a favour.
G'day, Mike. Where were you stranded, mate?
I can't believe that story, but I was a school excursion going to Mount Newman.
Yep.
We were in a big bus of about 30-odd kids on a gravel road going to some gorge or something, and the bus went up and down these windy, hilly things and got embedded front bumper bar and back bumper bar in the gravel.
Completely wedged.
Yep, absolutely. So we marched 30-odd kids to some dry river creek bed about a mile away, sat in the shade until they dug it out, then marched back onto the bus. It took them about a bit over 2 hours.
Wow.
I've seen those shows, though, where the parent, you know, the teachers go, come on, kids, we're all going to walk down to this creek. And then, you know, no one can find them later. It's terrible.
I know we're not supposed to leave the vehicle, but that's for other people. Come on, kids, let's go explore. Pete, Matt and
Kimber. I thought I was going all right.
Right.
I thought I was going okay.
In life.
You know, breakfast radio gig on the radio station that I grew up listening to and treasured and adored as a kid.
Tick.
Right? You know, huge tick. Yeah. Family, three kids.
Smashing it.
Yeah, you know, just having a good old time.
Two of them going quite well.
Yeah.
We won't say which ones.
That's right. Everybody knows the dragon. but I feel like after last night, I feel like I've already arrived at the time that I thought was going to hit me in around about 15, 20 years.
Yep.
You've peaked.
I've peaked early. And look, I've done a few gigs over the past few days, but these gigs feel very much like I said, you know, 20 years down the track, failed radio career.
Yep.
And making appearances just around Perth.
Great.
On Sunday, I was in a tux at a shopping centre hosting a giveaway.
Yes.
And look, can I just throw these out there? Because there's a lot of wonderful people who came up and said hello. And it was lovely to see you and the shopping centre as well. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It was great to be there.
But Pete knows that he's going to be back there in 15 years.
Absolutely. Right. Yep. And then I was at a gym the other night. I was at a gym opening. Where I made an appearance.
Look at you flying
Dude,
high.
Where are you sleeping? I'm exhausted and I'm not doing that
I've got
much.
Three kids under five. I haven't slept for 6 years.
Wow.
And then last night I got invited to the opening of Southern River McDonald's.
Oh, it happened.
Well,
it happened.
That did have some form, though, didn't
we
it?
We knew it was coming. You've been waiting for the launch.
Yeah. Been waiting for the launch. And I went there and, you know, actually it was quite cool because I went there with Mila and took my daughter. And, I walked in like a celebrity. Oh, my God. It was pretty amazing.
I bet you did.
Oh, there he is.
Through those golden arches. There it is.
And then the guy from the shopping centre.
And they took us for a tour. I haven't had a tour of Macca's since I was a kid having my birthday party there.
A tour?
Yeah.
How big is it?
Really?
It's pretty big.
Do the tour every year when we do McHappy Day? When we go and do McHappy Day, Matt and I are touring all over the joint.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We're up the back making burgers and then we do soft serve. They throw us in the drive-through. Then we go out the front. We get everything.
But we're doing that for the community, but Pete was there for him.
I was there for myself. Yeah. And then, just making these sporadic appearances.
I'm here, guys. I'm here.
Around the suburbs. This is how I pictured my life as a He's a failed radio guy. Yeah. About 15, 20 years. Yeah. You know, just, ladies and gentlemen, you might have remembered him from Mix 94.5 back in 2005.
You can't use the company name, mate.
Oh, that's right. Is that right? We've moved on. There is one thing, though. I got to make a McChicken.
Oh.
I got to make a McChicken while I was at Macca's.
It was really good. I did a great job, everybody. I did a great job.
Right.
Hey, everyone, I did well. Everyone clap Pete.
So I did. There is a career there for me if I want it.
Absolutely. Yeah. The McChicken is not an easy burger to make.
That's right. It's two pumps of the sauce, by the way, not one.
Guys, 4 years ago, I moved house, and this house has an extra room.
Oh.
It had an extra room from the house that I moved from.
What?
So suddenly, I had extra space. Mm. Some might say room for activities.
Can we turn our beds into bunk beds?
Yes.
Sweet.
You can make bunk beds.
I knew it. This is the funnest night ever. Look at all this floor space.
So much. With
aerobics in here. So many activities.
There's so much room for activities because I've got an extra room.
Yep.
Except what happened is as soon as I moved in, a very good friend of mine had to leave Perth and she said, I have to leave immediately and I've got nowhere to store my stuff.
Oh, here we go.
And I don't know what to do. And look, to be fair, I offered. She never asked. I said, why don't I store that thing for you? And she said, it's just a cabinet. It's just this little cabinet. And she showed me a photo and it looked like the size of maybe a bedside table, you know, like a little, and she said it's a Chinese cabinet. It's over a century old. Ooh. It's very, you know, important. Can't get them everywhere. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, it's a little bedside table. And I said, I can store that. I was like, let me look after it for you until you sort yourself out.
Yeah.
Well, then it arrived on the back of a truck with three dudes.
Okay.
And it turned out that the photo she showed me was just zoomed in and I didn't get a good perspective. There was no matchbox or pen next to it to decide what the size was. And it turned out this thing was enormous.
Well, I've learned the hard way that photos can be deceiving when you send them.
Absolutely. Yeah. You would know. The girth of this thing, ooh, enormous. I reckon probably 2 to 3 meters wide, ooh, and it goes floor to ceiling. It only just made it in the house. And it's been in my room now for 3 years.
Did your friend describe that as a bedside table?
No, she showed me a photo.
Okay, okay.
And the photo looked like a bedside table.
Okay, okay.
Because there was no perspective.
Space?
There's no perspective.
Right.
You zoom in on it, it looks like it's fine.
Yeah. Sure.
Anyway, so 3 years it lived in my house. And so you couldn't do anything else with the spare room because it had that in it. And then eventually she got rid of it.
Oh.
It went. And I was like, oh my God, look at all this extra room I've got for activities. Old mate James, my partner, goes, can I store a couch here?
Oh, God.
I wish I'd known. I've got plenty of stuff to store.
So I've had two sofas in the front room ever since the cabinet left. The two sofas have been in the front room. So for 4 years now that I've lived in this house, I have not had any access to this room with any of my own stuff.
Uh-huh.
And yesterday,
what happened?
We got rid of the couches.
Oh, my God.
I've got all this space.
Oh, space.
And I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So now I've got a whole room. I've reclaimed my room. No one's storing their stuff there anymore. What can I turn it into? I've already got a bedroom, I've got a lounge room, I've got a dining room.
I mean, my immediate reaction to this is fill it, because when we bought our house, it's nothing special, but it does have three carports, and I looked at the third carport and went, oh my God, saving space!
Space!
Yeah.
We could do all this stuff there, we could create a rec room out of it, you know what we did? Filled it with junk.
Yeah.
Fill the space.
And I don't want that. See, I'm thinking about a dog playroom. Just a dog, because in the winter, hard to get your dog out and have a play.
Yep.
Make the room empty. You can just keep playing toys in there all the time.
Well, you know me. I'm all about practicality. And I think you should turn it into a sweatshop using illegal labour.
Oh, my God.
Mm.
That's fantastic.
Make some money.
What should we make?
Garments.
Christmas sweaters. It's December 1.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Huh?
There you go.
It's not often I come up with a good idea, but I think we can all agree this is one of my best.
She's the comedian, TV presenter and actress, famous for spots on everything from Celebrity Apprentice to The Masked Singer and House Husbands. And next year will be her seventh stint as host of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Please welcome Julia Morris.
Hello!
Hello, Julia. How are you?
Oh, absolutely vintage form. I can't lie.
We feel much the same.
We're good.
Yeah.
First day of summer and all that.
Oh, look, when did it become December? I wasn't watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we get it. I mean, Julia, it's rolling around so fast, we're already ready for another I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, we are so excited. Well, of course, we've already filmed it just very quietly and secretively about a month and a half ago. And I can honestly say with a lot of confidence, we have a ripper cast this year.
Oh, brilliant. Mm. You can't give us any sneaky clues?
Do you know what? I wish I could. The interesting thing is I think the cast that go into the jungle on the January 3rd are really out of the norm of this type of show.
Okay.
There's a lot of artists who haven't been able to be on the road for 12 months, more than 12 months, nearly 2 years. And so there's all sorts of people who have made choices to come into the jungle that I thought, oh, interesting sidestep. What they don't have is the panic from being locked up without their phones, because that's really kind of how we've just spent the last 3 years. So it gives them this sort of almost peace of mind to really be very honest about how they're feeling and how they've coped with life. And it's very surprisingly deep, actually, for a comedy show. Mm.
There's got to be a footballer in there, right? I'm already nailing down.
Yeah, surprisingly deep. Yeah.
It won't shock you, Pete, to know comedian, footballer, country singer, beauty queen, and famous chef will be among the stars.
Right, okay.
Absolutely. I mean, you kick a bladder out of field for a while, you have a lovely time, you've got some precision, and why wouldn't you then go into the jungle? I mean, you'd be mad if you didn't.
I want to tell you about the time that I kicked the footy. It was really, really deep story, this one. Just strap yourself in.
Yeah, it went. So one time it went through the bottom of the post, but it wasn't counted.
Well, Juliet, you also say you're in the Australian jungle again this year. Do we have an Australian jungle? Why isn't it the bush? Why aren't you in the bush?
Northridge.
That was my nickname for most of the 90s. I'm not going to lie. But, the Australian jungle is a beautiful part of the Tweed Rivers in northern New South Wales, and right up on Mount Warning, which really feels definitely like jungle. There's snakes everywhere, there's bugs everywhere, there's things you haven't even seen ever in your whole life when you've been out and about in Australia. It's an exquisite part of the country. So it was a real pleasure to have sort of the afternoons after work to be by the seaside, you know, right on that gorgeous beach near Kingscliff.
Beautiful.
And then in the daytime with our celebrities right up on Mount Warning, really what felt like in the middle of the country. It was spectacular.
Now, Julia, when you called in, obviously, on the 10 network, we sometimes have a hangover from the previous caller, and it said Julia Morris, Survivor. And it got me thinking, is it time to get the Dame Julia herself into the jungle? Would you ever consider such a venture?
I'm not sure it's among my special gifts. Look how serious I went all of a sudden. Look, I have watched over 8 years people really putting themselves aside for others. I'm not sure I've got that in me.
But you've got a deep football story, haven't you?
Yeah. I kicked a bladder around the field once. Don't worry. Look, no, I'm... But not with any sort of special gift. So that's the difference between me and proper footballers, I guess.
Julia, we understand you have to get on to your next interview, so we'll let you go. But it has been absolutely wonderful chatting with you. We're looking forward to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. It premieres Monday the 3rd of January, only on 10 and 10 Play On Demand. And Merry Christmas to you.
Well, thank you so much, guys. There's everything to celebrate this year.
Bye.
See you.
To hear Pete, Matt and Kimber for longer, listen to another one of their podcasts. And to swim warmer for longer, get an Elite pool cover.